You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday, 8 August, Japanese household spending year on year drops from 4.7% growth to 1.3%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Odwa Magwenchu from Momentum. We had SAPI results, MTN and the Fashini Group trading updates. Some the market loved, others they hated. Tanzi Ramakosa from Emerging Market Fixed Income at 91. Transnet turnaround, are we finally seeing some real progress? Certainly, we've had listed CEOs saying that they are seeing green shoots. And then thoughts from me, why are markets at all-time highs as the Trump tariffs kick in? This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. Advertech acquires Nairobi Private School for 172 million rand, capacity for 2,000 students. Business Day, Ramaphosa and Trump discuss bilateral trade on the phone amid tariff tensions. Presidency confirms the presidents have agreed to further engagements, recognizing the various trade negotiations the U.S. is currently involved in. Morning markets, the U.S. Mixed, S&P down 0.1%, NASDAQ 0.3% higher. And the East is also mixed. We've got Sydney up 0.25%, Tokyo 2.2% up, Hong Kong is off 0.7% and Tencent down 1.33%. Commodities mostly green, gold futures 3,483, Brent is your red at 66.33, platinum is 1,362 and palladium 1,169. The rand is 17.73, Bitcoin 118,900, top 40 opening call, a green open but 12 points, 0.01% higher.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Odwa Magwenchu. You find him, of course, at Momentum. Odwa, appreciate the early morning time. Let's start with the result that came out yesterday. SAPI, it closed down 1%. A bit of a mixed bag. Tariffs are hurting. But I got to say, SAPI's a stock that in the 20 plus years I've been watching it, I don't know, it always just seems to have one or other little niggle that creates some or other little issue, and it never quite gets into top gear. Your thought on the numbers in the stock?
As you're saying, you know, the numbers that came out are not really as strong as they anticipated. It seems like the tariff things happening right now globally is hurting them very much. Their debt is also growing quite substantially. I think, you know, overall, they are struggling in this current moment. And the business, I mean, one of the local based businesses is to cater to the citrus farmers. And that is also on the skates right now. So I think that they are currently in a very troublesome time. And increasing debt may actually implode in the long term.
Yeah, and their debt, I mean, they've always got some debt lurking around, it feels, and it struggles for them. And I'm having a quick look at the five-year chart, and it's been wild and volatile, but it is basically back to almost where it was 5 years ago, after being $60 at one point. The one that the market loved was MTN, up a little over 5.5% on the day. Trading update coming through, and part of this, I suspect, is that we had the collapse of the currencies in Nigeria and Ghana, and that's kind of now in the base. But I got to say, good numbers coming through. Currency risks, I suppose, don't go away. How do you like these telcos, MTN in particular?
Oh well, telcos, I mean, across the board have shown some improvement this year. Starting with Telkom, in other words. But I mean, MTN right now is coming from a very low base. They still have that secret weapon of mobile money in the back pockets, and I think that's still going to show some generation. But yes, the improvement in Ghana and Nigeria has been great for them. However, you know, with Nigeria in particular, there's always something that comes up before every time they have a good run, something does come up. So I'm a bit cautious on that front. We had it at the top a price of 165 at a momentum, and it's past that very quickly. So I think that there still is some potential, again, with that mobile money in the back pocket for the business to grow. And also they're going into not so saturated places, and you know, growth is unlimited in those places.
But I take your point. I mean, in the markets they operate, Nigeria is their largest, then South Africa, then Ghana. There's always going to be some currency risk. Now, the rand's fine because, of course, it's their reporting currency. But there's always going to be currency risk. There's always going to be other, you know, potential geopolitical. I mean, we all remember that $5 billion fine they got back in, what was it, 2015. This is just part of the reality of investing in a stock like this.
That's correct. And that's the unfortunate thing. I mean, this year, again, geopolitics hurt across the board, but for Nigeria, it helped them because they are so closely tied to the oil price. So, it does the pros and cons of going into international markets is that you get new market, but currency risk does come into play.
The Fashini Group, this one, the market did hate on. It was down some 5.5%. It was a trading update for 13 weeks. On the surface, it looked pretty good. Group sales, 11.5%. Online sales, absolutely booming, now 14.5%. But I think the challenge was is that their acquisition, the White Stuff in the UK, seems to have been all of the growth, and the market was not happy. They were also, as I understand, having a capital markets day. I mean, this is a stock that had a wild 2024 and is now having an inverse wild 2025.
Well, I think you're right, you know, in terms of how things turn around. If you look at, you know, they're reporting less the White Stuff, it did not, you know, come up very shining, and then that's why White Stuff did end up helping them in terms of their results. However, I do think that their strategy is quite a great one. They're not doing a lot of brick and mortar. They're doing online, and the online growth is quite substantial. I think that's going to help them in the long term. Yes, the markets are beating it, but I think it may be potential for us investors to come in and get it at a bit lower price. I do think that the share is well positioned, and I think also expansion wise they only put like three of a handful of new stores, so for me the long term play in comparison to other retailers, I think the online space is great. It's fine. They're actually competing quite well with the Sheins and the Temus. I think that's where the business is going.
And they're doing very well in beauty, up some 24%. And I've chatted with a couple of beauty analysts. There is a marked move into it by our retailers, and it's a good margin business. And I don't want to say sort of immune to economic conditions, but perhaps a little more resilient, thinking about the lipstick effect.
I do think so as well. They also did show a bit of growth also in the jewelry space.
Yeah.
If we look across the board, if we go to, let's say, Richmond, for example, that jewelry was also helping them very much in their performance. So as you're rightfully saying, it does have a sticking effect when it comes to the market right now in terms of which category does perform. But again, I think that in the long term, they are quite well positioned. And if the online business grows as well as it is right now, that is a stock to look out for.
Yeah, they and ShopRite seem to be owning the online. Having a quick look, forward PEs sub 10, price to books 1.4, dividend yield 3.5. Those are attractive looking valuation numbers. We leave it there. Odwa Mgwenshu, Momentum, always appreciate the early morning insights. The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation beating returns. Let your money keep working with Stanlib Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Tanzi Ramakosi. He is investment specialist, emerging markets, fixed income at 91. Tanzi, it goes without saying, it's impossible to understate just how important Transnet is to our local economy. And frankly, how bad it had been. We'll chat around a turnaround coming, but it really was very bad and it is hugely important.
No, I mean, that is correct, Simon. It is something that we cannot debate or emphasize enough. In terms of how things had been, I mean, Transnet used to move about 226 million tons worth of freight volumes in 2017, 2018. Mm-hmm. And that number had fallen down to 150 million tons in 2022, 2023. But I mean, I think, you know, when you look at that particular year, the one thing that I think does not get stated or discussed is that, you know, in the state of decline, Transnet was projecting to move about 142 million tons on that particular year, which is a significant drop from the 226 that they had in 2017 and 2018.
And certainly things have been improving. 2023, it saw the president announce a National Logistics Crisis Committee. Transnet also started sort of in parallel their own recovery plan. And the data is strong that it is showing signs of working.
I think that creation of the National Logistic Crisis Committee under the Operation Vulindlela framework and the work that Transnet has undertaken and seeing the change as well in leadership around that time and the implementation of the recovery plan that has yielded some results. I mean, if we're just looking at the numbers, as I said, when they put together the recovery plan in September 2023, the outlook was that if no intervention happened, they were going to end at 142 million tons. But for that year, 2022-23, they ended up at 150. And we showed a stabilization of the decline. But I think what becomes even more encouraging, you know, for the economy broadly and as well as investors or companies, as well as companies who rely on Transnet, is that the volume has started increasing. You know, when you look at the numbers in 2023 and 24, as well as 2025, you know, which the financials have not yet been published, but you see that the number that indicating that they've established is about 161 million tons. So from the projected 142 to 160, I mean, that is an encouraging sign.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, about 13-15% pickup. And you mentioned the changes in 23, both from Transnet and from the president. There's also new management that's come into place. There's government guarantees, another one just more recently for a little over 90 billion. That certainly has helped a lot in that process.
No, I mean, exactly. I mean, in terms of management, I mean, we saw Michelle coming through permanently as the CEO, and she had been with Transnet for a very long time. So she is well experienced and familiar with the business. And we saw the changes in the COO position with Soli Swalo coming through, who has experience with the port business. So I think, you know, all those changes have played an important role in steering Transnet into the right direction that we see now. And the government has been supportive, right? I mean, in terms of the guarantees, the role that plays is that, you know, when it comes to fundraising, it makes the process easier for Transnet. And I think, you know, as a management team, you know, you want to spend more time focusing on the operations of the business and not necessarily worried as much about how you're going to, you know, when it comes to fundraising or dealing with high interest expense. So I think going forward, having the guarantees in place will help reduce that interest bill for Transnet. And, you know, outside of the guarantees, you're also seeing support through the BFI, the budget facility as well. Transnet has allocations there and they have already applied as well in the past window. And that amount, you know, coming through, it's coming through for specific projects, which, you know, one could see that they might help increase the volumes and help Transnet work towards their target for the following year, which they're targeting to move about 181 million tons on the rail.
I want to touch on ports in a minute, but we're also seeing the opening up of it, you know, opening the network to private participation in the ports, although I think there's still court challenges there, you know, public-private partnerships. That's going to really help, and it's not happening yet, but it's going to make a big difference down the line.
No, exactly. I mean, you know, when you look at how operations or what has been happening now, I mean, there have been some changes in how Transnet has been approaching their business, and also private sector as well is being involved in this. I mean, at the moment, they do have the mutual cooperation agreements with Richards Bay Coal Terminal, and that has been seen to help with regards to procuring some of the components for the locals, as we saw in the 2024 year, where they helped with the procurement of batteries, and that has also helped in terms of volume improvements, not just on the track, but also at the coal terminal itself. And, you know, going forward, when you talk about opening up the network for third party, I mean, that can only benefit the logistics sector, right? Because then you have more players on the network and there can be more locos available to help move more volume. So, I mean, it is a work in progress. At the moment, you know, we have had the network statement released, and we have seen that there were some companies that did bid for slots, mm-hmm. and we will be seeing an announcement of that. The latest indication is end of August. So that will help, you know, introducing new players into the network. And in terms of ports, I mean, yes, you know, concessions, we have seen the NPA2 concession, the one that, you know, didn't go quite as planned. Mm-hmm. But what we take from that is the indication that there is willingness to allow private sector to be part of the solution, yeah. and to be involved in that. And there was also a liquid bulk terminal announcement as well, which will be involving private sector involvement in that. So it is not moving as fast as I guess everybody would love it to move. But I think, you know, when you look at it in terms of the signals and indications that there is willingness to partner with private sector to allow other players onto the network, whether it's on the ports or on the ports side as well, which will help move more volumes and benefit the economy broadly.
Yeah, it is slow process, but you said there, it's a work in progress. And I think importantly, it's moving in the right direction. I mean, some upgrades at Durban Pier 2 has reduced wait times by almost half, which has a huge impact. We'll leave it there. That's Lindsay Ramaphosa, investment specialist, emerging market fixed income at 91. Appreciate the time. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. We certainly are seeing some signs here. And we've heard the green shoot story from a number of CEOs, Afrimat, Transnet, Thungela and the like. We're asking you, can they successfully navigate their way to being a functional state-owned enterprise? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Some thoughts from me. Trump tariffs kicked in yesterday. 70-odd countries around the world. Markets are at all-time highs. Back in April when we had the liberation, it was carnage on the market. So much so that Trump folded and gave that 90-day respite, which he then kicked down the road another sort of 30 days. Now, here are the tariffs and the market is saying not to worry. How come? I mean, to be clear, it's a sincere question. I don't know. I mean, markets are confusing. We saw the Nedbank forward guidance earlier in the week. That certainly spooked markets. But on the flip side, mega tech earnings, they've been strong. We can, you know, argue some nuances. Amazon, AWS, perhaps not as great, but certainly they've been strong. We've had the Figma and Circle IPOs. They were huge. I mean, they were absolutely huge. And the rest of the earnings are doing fine. We're not seeing earnings crater. Yes, the Nedbank forward guidance was a worry, but the Nedbank earnings weren't. Commodities moving higher, gold, PGMs, all looking good. At some point, prices need to reflect fundamentals. But for now, in the immediate, the fundamentals are just fine. Now, markets look forward. Tariffs are going to change those fundamentals and markets will have to adjust. But for now, it's a bull market. The key point is don't panic. Don't cash out in fear. Maybe you want to take some profits. Chantal Marx, F&B Wealth and Investments, always says there's nothing wrong with taking a little bit of money off the table, particularly at elevated pricing. And when and if that correction comes, and it doesn't have to be a correction. Remember, markets can also just kind of adjust by going sideways and wait for fundamentals to catch up to them. But the key point, doing nothing is usually the best response. That's it for today. I was chatting with Waldo Marcus yesterday. He from TPN. We're talking the improving rental housing market. Interestingly, as home buyers remain cautious, we're seeing rentals up ahead of inflation, but we're not seeing a surge in home buying. Yes, rates are down, but it's still tough. We asked if you rent or own your home. Three quarters said that you are owning it and loving it. A fifth are renting for the win. The rest living with others. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a positive rating and an awesome review in your podcatcher of choice. And we'll chat again Monday, Country Bias.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.